This vineyard isn't your typical one.
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to make our vineyards look Australian.
That's Barossa Valley botanist and winemaker Prue Henschke. We're standing on her family's property looking at a native flowering Christmas bush, or Beceria, that's swarming with native wasps. It's been planted at the end of the vine row.
It's a dream of mine. I guess it's that botanist background that I'd love to see us being part of our landscape, not sectioned off.
What happens if you've got some French people coming through looking at these vineyards and going, oh, what's going on there?
I guess it's not roses, but they understand.
Also different is how the vines themselves are growing. They have a cover crop of introduced and native grasses and shrubs growing directly beneath them. Wallaby grass, rye grass and barley grass.
We really want them to protect the earth, so they're really there to stop any wind or water or any sort of erosion and protect it from mechanical damage with the tractors. So the idea is to have a permanent sward, but we don't want it to use a lot of water. So we want it to die down and just be a sort of dormant blanket.
Farmers usually kill off the weeds and plants, native or otherwise, that grow beneath the vines with herbicides. Conventional viticulture wisdom states that having other plants nearby means the grapevines must compete for nutrients and water. But Ms. Henschke thinks that idea is outdated and in need of replacing. She says weeds and native trees and shrubs have benefits of their own.
What other native trees can you use?
Blue gums. We're surrounded by blue gums. Blue gums actually produce the highest nectar levels of all our flowering plants, Australian flowering plants. I know a lot of people don't like them because their roots tend to extend really far into the vineyard, but their flowers are really beneficial.
Ms. Henschke has embraced the bush ever since she started as a viticulturist at the sixth generation family business in 1987. While Prue has long been convinced that she's onto something with her back-to-bush basics, she could soon have some more evidence to back her up. At an agriculture research station in the nearby Barossa Valley town of Nuriupta, scientists are debunking the weeds versus vines consensus that has become so deeply rooted in the industry.
So we're growing a range of different cover crops. We've got some perennial grasses growing. We've got some native grasses, wallaby grass.
University of Adelaide Associate Professor Tim Cavaniero and postdoctoral research fellow Tom Lyons are growing 10 different cover crops directly beneath their vines. From native wallaby grass and fescue to invasive weeds like barley and rye, as well as nitrogen-rich legumes like medic plants. Tom Lyons explains.
They're all having different effects on the soil and having different interactions with the vines. So we're really interested in looking at how the vines respond and how viticulturalists might use them as a means of avoiding using herbicide in the future.
Tim, to our left, we've got a traditional vineyard. It's all been sprayed out. It's a dirt patch. There's nothing growing underneath. How is that comparing to the ones with the cover crops?
We're seeing some really big differences. For example, about four or five times greater abundance of earthworms where we've got a cover crop compared to where we've sprayed it out with herbicide. And we're seeing greater biodiversity in the soil microbiome as well underneath the cover crops compared to the herbicide control.
The benefits keep coming. The grass cover helps keep the soils cooler on hot days or over long periods. It also traps in moisture for longer, and the extra plant matter creates more soil carbon. But then there's the big one. The finding the researchers hope could influence the way grape growing is done across Australia.
Being a scientist, I'm never one to try and tell everyone what to do, but what we're seeing is that so growing something underneath the vine is not going to be bad, it's not going to negatively affect you, and it's probably going to save you a fair bit of money in the long term as well.
In terms of yield?
We have observed differences in yield, absolutely. The general rule that we've seen is that actually, while there's no sort of silver bullet in terms of getting really high yields, everything with a cover crop tends to fare quite well, and so we're not seeing any deleterious effect of the cover crop.
So you mean you're not experiencing any lower yields? It's either the same or higher than what it would normally be if it was sprayed out underneath.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of natural variation, but yeah, we're not seeing any reductions or negative effects of having a cover crop versus the herbicide.
Industry body Wine Australia is a partner in the research. Research and Development Program Manager Alex Sass hopes the results will encourage grape growers to start experimenting with cover crops.
I think the most important thing that the research results show is that the cover crops have no negative effects on vine production. And with that information, growers can then have the confidence to do their own trials with the species that work in their regions to see what effect it has on their own vineyards.
The researchers want to do it over multiple seasons to see if the results can be backed up. Tom Lyons again.
Like all agricultural studies, there's a fair bit of variation, so it's important to repeat the project over a number of years to really make sure that what you're seeing is true and not just a factor of or a function of different weather events or the climate that year. But going forward, there are all sorts of new questions that we'd like to ask. With the positive results that we've got, we'd really like to scale up the project as much as possible and try and get cover cropping on a large scale into as many regions and on a larger scale as possible.
Turkey Flat is a small Barossa Valley winery with a big profile and even bigger ambitions to change the way it makes wine. In 2017, it won the highly coveted Jimmy Watson Memorial Trophy, Australia's most sought-after red wine prize, at the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards. This year, the boutique winery started practicing what the University of Adelaide researchers are preaching by planting native grasses and medic plants beneath its 172-year-old vines. Here's the winery's Alex Schultz.
We've just started, so it's a constant learning process.
This is the first time they've planted cover crops beneath the vines, but for the past few years they've used native grasses in the vine mid-rows.
We've seen in the last 5 years since we've taken our hands off and done less in the vineyard a steep rise in quality of grapes and fruit and yields as well. A slight yield increase and just general health of vines. If you're not spraying the shit out of it with chemicals, then that's always going to be a good thing.
The winery isn't officially certified organic, but it is slowly phasing out its use of chemicals in a bid to improve the health of its soil and vines.
We're certainly not a big guy, but we're trying to be a good example of what sustainable and hopefully soon organic viticulture looks like in an arid, warm, hot, arid region. We're not necessarily saying this is the best way to go, but this is an example of hands-off viticulture and responsible, sustainable farming.
There is one major factor influencing Turkey Flat's move towards more organic farming practices, and it's one that affects every fruit grower in Australia: adapting to a warming climate. The researchers have found using a grass cover crop keeps soil temperatures cooler, helping it to retain water for longer, something that could be useful over long, dry summers. Tim Cavaniero again.
So where we don't have a cover crop in place, on a really hot summer's day, the surface temperature of the soil might be 60 or 70 degrees, whereas underneath a mulch or a cover crop, it might be much closer to air temperature. And so one of the potential benefits of this management approach is really helping buffer against climate shocks that we might see.
So in warm seasons or warm periods, this could actually be a way to keep the temperature down.
Yeah, so it's one of the many possible or one of the many available tools out there for adapting to climate change.
Some grape growers already use mulch under vine to keep the soil moist, but that can be costly, especially in times of drought when the price of hay soars, like it is currently. But perennial grasses regrow. It's a living mulch that traps moisture and the soil itself. Alex Schultz again.
The cost is lower because we're not driving our tractor up and down, ripping the soil and letting it blow up into the air. This is hands-off viticulture, and the less we can do, the better off we all are.
The other leading factor pushing growers to find more organic ways of making wine is demand from consumers for less chemicals in their products. By 2022, the world is expected to drink around 1 billion bottles of organic wine per year, according to industry outlet Beverage Daily. That's well up from 349 million bottles in 2012.
Would you like to have a little look around the vineyard?
Yeah, great. Cool.
Back on Prue Henschke's vineyard, she's using her native Australian shrubs to drastically cut down her pesticide use as well. The local shrubs and grasses attract native wasps that prey on one of the Australian wine industry's most problematic pests, the light brown apple moth. Before it becomes a moth, the caterpillar feeds on the leaves and berries of grapes, and also predisposes them to bunch rots, which causes even bigger losses in yield and hurts grape quality. As we drive around the vineyard, Prue pulls up at another flowering Christmas bush.
And it just happens that this plant flowers at the same time as the vine.
Can we jump out and take a look?
Yeah, for sure. So every five rows we've got a Berseria plant to help bring in the insects that we want to predate on the bugs that we've got in the vineyards.
What impact does having those wasps around here do to the number of light brown apple moths you have here?
Oh, it's a huge impact. In fact, we have now not had to spray for light brown apple moth for ages. So the idea is to actually get the wasps to help us with that. And, I mean, it saves us on sprays, tractor activity. It's all, you know, it's so gentle control that we can easily put into the vineyard by planting a few flowering shrubs.
Again, it's the scientists who are playing catch-up to her methods. Finding a natural way to control the light brown apple moth in vineyards is a research topic for Emma Aspen, a PhD student at the University of Adelaide who specialises in insect behavioural ecology.
I'm studying it as a pest of grapevine, but it's a pest of many other agricultural products such as citrus fruits and pears.
Ms Aspen has been investigating ways for vineyards to attract two native varieties of parasitic wasps to destroy the caterpillars naturally. The wasps are exactly that, native to Australia. So the idea of luring them to a vineyard seems counterintuitive. They should already be there.
But because grapevines are a man-made sort of deciduous environment, there's not always food and prey for these parasitoids all year round, because the grapevines in winter will lose their leaves, everything will drop off, so there's not as many caterpillars around for them to find anymore. So if you're spraying all these chemicals on them all the time, then the parasitoids are really going to be devastated by that chemical exposure.
Ms Aspen says instead of using chemicals, growers should create insect hotels near the vines by planting native plants that the wasps can live in and then go out and attack the caterpillars from.
So the two most common ones I mentioned before are Christmas bush and Leptospermum, but we've also found like species such as desert hakea, woolly tea tree and sticky boobiella. So exactly, if you want to just change up your nice looking rose bushes for some other native flowering plants, then I'd highly recommend that. I don't expect that farmers will ever be able to remove insecticides and pesticides completely, but you don't want to 100% rely on these chemicals to control your pests. You want to rely on a balance of both pesticides, natural enemies, predators, and these chemical sprays, so that you're supporting the healthiness and balance of your crop without having it rely fully on one control.
To the handful of growers already on board, embracing the benefits of Australia's native bugs and bush seems like a no-brainer. Prue Henschke again.
I think we're supposed to be here looking after the land, and the caretakers, the Aboriginal caretakers, have actually mentioned this, and they appreciate the fact that we're starting to think about caring for land, building up the native vegetation to look after a range of species, not just plant, but bird and animal. And I think that's how they think, that you have to care for the vegetation, you have to care for all the species that exist in the Australian landscape. That's your duty, and I think that's something we should take on.